Forgot your Bible, please raise your hand, and we have Bibles available, and we have a gentleman that's going to pass out a Bible. Anybody forgot their Bible this morning, please raise your hand and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Anybody forget their Bibles this morning? You got one up here. Any others? Who did their homework last week? Oh, you get a sticker this morning. Right there. Anybody else do their homework? You actually did. Who else did their homework? Did you do your homework?
Oh, yes.
All right. Next Sunday, your homework is going to be about Enoch. Just keep reading in Hebrews chapter 11. Come on. You get a sticker for doing your homework. Did anybody forget their handouts that we had last? Anybody need a handout? And Miss Trudy, she did her homework. She had no option because she lives with the preacher. Andrea, yeah. You need a handout? And Pat needs a handout? Would you pass those down? Anybody else need a handout? Okay, what we did last week, we started the introduction on Hebrews chapter 11 on faith. And we introduced that faith, from a Greek word, it means believe, trust, and confidence. And we did not finish our handouts because we ran out of time. Kevin, could you help me out, please? I'm just getting overwhelmed this morning with all these things going on. Thank you, Kevin. By the way, young man, congratulations. Wow, give him a hand. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody got a handout? Oh, I forgot. Anybody need? I'm used to people taking notes. Does anybody need a pencil? Raise your hand if you need a pencil. Anybody need? You got to take your chip. Pick. You picked the prettiest pen of the bunch. Any others need a pencil for notes? All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Reads, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to talk about Cain and Abel. We're going back in the Word of God the history of mankind around 7,000 years. And we're going to see how the first man exercised faith and what took place and God's reaction on that first sacrifice. But before we go, we're going to see the end of the story before we go to Genesis chapter 3. So if you're turning to your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3, but we're going to see the end of the story first in Hebrews chapter 11. Again, faith is from a Greek word. It means believe. Trust and confidence. So one must ask, in what? You must and I must understand that faith is going to come by hearing and by the Word of God. One must exercise faith in the Holy Scriptures on sound theology. Anyone who is going to exercise faith in false doctrine is going to really be led astray. And we talked about that last Sunday regarding the prosperity gospel and the word of faith movement. It's unsound doctrine. And people are being led astray around the world by millions and millions of people in way different circumstances. And it's so sad because their faith is not grounded on sound theology. It seems like today in the church, so often we see the Bible being set aside, and people love to have their ears tickled with stories and so on and so on. You cannot substitute the Bible behind the pulpit. And then, of course, there's another responsibility. You and the congregation, as well as myself, must become students of the Word of God. It's a dual relationship. So faith is a major doctrine. You begin your salvation by faith. Ephesians 2:8, so by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to examine yourself, ask your question, do you really know you're going to heaven when you die? If not, there's tracts available in the foyer. I suggest you pick up a tract that explains how you can have eternal life and you have the security in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you can know that you have everlasting life. It all begins by faith. And then, of course, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So real quick in review from last Sunday, let's just read our handout regarding the substance, the faith substance. The word substance is from the Greek word hypostasis, and this word appears only two other times in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 1:3, it is used to speak of Christ as the very essence of the Father. The word essence means exactly the same image. Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. In essence, they are one. The other time it's used in Hebrews 3:14, it speaks of assurance, a guarantee, or a deed. And that is exactly what substance is in essence and assurance is. Faith, then, provides a firm ground on which we stand, waiting for the assurance of the fulfillment of the essence of God's promise in the Holy Scripture. You and I, by faith, can absolutely be assured that every promise in God's holy word will take place. God does not ever break a promise. When he promises you eternal life, it is a guarantee that you have eternal life. You have it. That's what faith is all about. How about faith evidence of things not seen? The word evidence, you can turn your page over. Faith evidence of things not seen. The word evidence in the Greek is elikashos, which means conviction. Faith is a conviction that the unseen exists. You and I have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not seen heaven. But we know by faith that it exists. It exists. Anytime doubt enters our faith, then we begin to waver. We begin to waver. This phrase implies action by putting your life. Now, just see what that says. By putting your life in your faith in Christ. Faith is living on the basis of things not seen, but revealed in Holy Scripture. You see the importance of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Sound biblical theology, sound doctrine is an absolute in the church. It's an absolute. You're going through a process in this ministry of hiring a new pastor. Sound theology, the doctrine of grace, is an absolute through the process that you experience. Salvation, absolute. Eternal security, never separated from his love. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not told so, I would have told you so. I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. It's an absolute. So I would really want to encourage you as we talk about faith, that you put your faith in the living Word of God, in the Holy Text. There's no substitute. No substitute. Well, let's look at the end of the story regarding Cain and Abel. The story went back, which we will go to in a moment. We'll look at Genesis 3:15. But when we talk about Cain and Abel, we're talking about the first sacrifice for the payment of sin. And in verse 4, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. Interesting text. When Abel offered a sacrifice, we see that he became righteous. Anytime in Scripture, we see an evidence of a person receiving the righteousness of Christ. The sacrifice had to be made by a blood sacrifice. Only a blood sacrifice makes the payment for sin. So even before the law was written, the very first sacrifice ever made in the human history was made by Abel, and he, through faith, made a blood sacrifice, and God said, okay, now you are righteous. 7,000 years ago. Why was he righteous? When he made that sacrifice, he was looking for the coming of the Savior. A promise made in Genesis 3:15, when we make our faith in Christ as our personal Savior, we look back to the cross, and the moment that you and I put our faith in Christ as our personal Savior, we too have been proclaimed righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. Do you realize how important that position of righteousness is? If we were not righteous, we would not be able to commune with the Holy Father in glory. Because sin separates us from his holiness. But in Christ Jesus, we have a position of righteousness. I'll repeat that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to become sin for us on the cross, who know no sin, he made a holy sacrifice, that we might be proclaimed righteous. That's our standing. So even when Abel, the first sacrifice, was the beginning of the doctrine that righteousness or salvation comes through faith and faith alone and not of works, lest any man should boast. And he still speaks. The doctrine that he's talking about from the grave still speaks that salvation is by grace and grace alone and not of works, by faith and faith alone. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 reads, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of the just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's sacrifice was not a payment for sin, it was a covering for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the Calvary, and his blood was the payment for sin, it made Abel's final payment for sin. Just think about all the sacrifices through the law pointed to Calvary. Jesus paid it all. He paid the sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the new covenant. This is my blood, the new covenant. Everything pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that some of you probably can't read this. I barely can read it. We have Abel, one lamb for one man, 7,000 years ago. One lamb for one man. The Passover, one lamb for one family. The Day of Atonement, one lamb for one nation, Israel. And then Calvary, the Lamb of God, for the world. For the world. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ paid the sins of the world. Okay? Always remember that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved and he paid the price of the sins for the world. John the Baptist in the book of John is so precious. Can't you just see John there? And he looks and he sees Jesus. And he says, behold, take notice, look, notice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Everybody can come. Everybody can come. The invitation is to come and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Calvary, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Genesis 3:15, if you would, please. Genesis 3:15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now we see the beginning of the story. Now that you know the ending, Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. The fall has just taken place. Adam and Eve have sinned. Death, spiritual death, entered the human race. The fall of Adam and Eve. Think about that. Spiritual death entered the human race because of Adam's and Eve's sin. For the wages of sin is death. Now I want you to notice God's reaction right after the fall. In verse 14, Genesis 3:14. Yeah, let's stop and think about that. Adam and Eve sinned, the fall, and death entered the human race. And if you're here this morning and have the absolutely sure that you're going to go to heaven because of your faith in Christ Jesus, just think about that. Now you have life. You have eternal life. You have it. So right after the fall, notice, I want you to notice in verse 14, so the Lord God said to serpent, the Satan, he said to Satan, so the Lord God, Jehovah, said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now here is the first presentation of Calvary, gospel of grace. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The death blow to Satan took place in Hebrews 2:14. It says, he, Christ, might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And the devil bruised the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but on the third day he rose from the grave. Victory over death. Calvary defeated Satan, the liar, the murderer, and gave life and victory to all of us who exercise faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Right after the fall, we see Jehovah God administering the doctrine of grace at Calvary 7,000 years ago. Even before the law was written by Moses. Now then, I read that text because I want to get back to Cain and Abel. So now Adam and Eve had the knowledge at Calvary. They had the knowledge of grace. Now let's pick up in Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. She even thought maybe she was going to give birth to the Savior from Genesis 3:15. Then she abhorred again this time, brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, now in the Hebrew, the process of time meant a time period. Make a note of that, a time period. And it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. We had a time set for this sacrifice that's going to take place, an act of worship, exercising faith, and we had a place to go, to the Lord. They just didn't go out here in the woods and say, oh, I think I'm going to make a sacrifice. It was a precise time given to them by God. And don't forget, they had the knowledge of Calvary. They had the knowledge. Make an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. The firstborn of his flock and of their fat. One lamb for one man. Remember, this is a sacrifice for sin. It had to be a blood sacrifice. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Faith requires and demands obedience. Abel and Cain had the same information. They had to precisely know what to accomplish that was going to be pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But notice in verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. What does this represent? Abel was obedient. So he made the sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and for his sins, and he was proclaimed righteous. The very first offering by faith was a blood sacrifice for the remission of sin. And God said, Abel, you were obedient. I accept your sacrifice. What did Cain do? He was disobedient. He said, I think I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to work. I'm going to do it my way, God. Not yours, my way. This is the exactly representation of false man-made religion that we see happening around the world today. I'm going to do it my way. Grace versus works. Grace versus works. Cain said, I'm going to roll up my sleeve. It's not that God liked tomatoes over lamb chops. Not at all. Both were sinners. Both had the same knowledge. Both had the same command to offer a sacrifice for sin. Cain was disobedient. He said, no, I'm going to do it my way. That is false, and that is man-made religion that we see happening today. And anytime anybody offers any type of human effort or works to the gospel of grace, that message becomes polluted. I'm sorry, it's the way it is. You and I cannot please God with any human effort whatsoever when we come to Calvary. We come to Calvary dead in our sins, and we accept the salvation by grace and grace alone, exercising faith. Cain is the exact thing that we see around the world today in false religion. Two things take place in false religion. They deny the deity of Christ, number one. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ's deity. Number two, they say, I'll do it my way. Didn't Frank Sinatra sing a song? That shows how old I am. I'll do it my way. Well, Cain, your way wasn't very good because God rejected. But now I want to show you an amazing, amazing act of grace by Jehovah God after this. I, in my own human mind, I see God being angry at Cain. Cain, I do not respect your sacrifice. I reject it. You were disobedient. you just, I reject it. You want to see grace? Exercise right off the bat. Notice in verse 6. After all this took place, in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 4. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Notice verse 7. Second chance, Cain. That's grace. Listen, verse 7. If you do well, Cain, will you not be accepted? Can't you just see this? God is saying, Cain, come back. Come on back, and if you do well, if you go ahead and make the proper sacrifice, I will accept it. That's grace. Isn't that grace? After rejecting Cain's sacrifice, then God said, come on, Cain. Come on back. Do the sacrifice that I demand for the remission of sin, and I'll accept it. I'll accept it. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now we have the first murder. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And you know the rest of the story. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So what is this so interesting to me, that the very right after the fall, we see Calvary, the doctrine of grace established, and we see the very first sacrifice was a blood sacrifice for the payment of sins. And I want us to leave here this morning, notice the importance that you and I, because of our faith in Christ Jesus, have been made righteous. Colossians said we're holy. That's our position in Christ Jesus. If you and I were not righteous, we would not be able to commune with our Heavenly Father in worship, in prayer, because sin separates us from His holiness. Sin separates. In fact, holiness is from a root word, separatedness. God's holiness will not commune with sin. And right at the very first sacrifice, Abel's sacrifice for his sins, he was declared righteous. So all through the Old Testament, when the law was introduced, everything pointed to Calvary. And now we look back to Calvary because the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the new covenant, and his shed blood paid for the sins of the old and the new. It was finished. And when he cried out on the cross, it is finished. Accomplished. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you have given us this morning. And Father, I just think as we hear in the news the persecution that's taken place in Iraq, Afghanistan, of those poor Christians that are fleeing for their lives from Islam. Oh Father, may their faith strengthen them, guide them, give them peace as they flee, knowing that you will never forsake them or never leave them. Father, we can't understand it all, but we know that you're there. So, Father, we pray for those poor souls. And, Father, along with that line, we bow before you with thanksgiving and gratitude for the freedom that we have this morning, that we can come and carry our Bibles and worship you in the open of this church. Thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we also have been declared righteous and can commune with you and come before your holy throne. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.